two quick points here because it's late. I think two points that are okay. Just a thought, you know, to get through the day over here. Who built the Mishkan?
Bezalel.
Who was Bezalel? Bezalel ben Uri. Ben Hur. What happened to the first Uri?
Hur was killed.
Murdered by the eagle. Not by the eagle, correct. So you got to watch that yeshiva show. Who's Uri?
That's Uri.
That holy guy.
Saul's father.
Which one did we got it out with?
Who's Uri? Nobody knows. Nobody knows who Uri is.
Do you know any other?
I would guess that Uri is actually just because, even though it must be his father, it could also be just a description of Bezalel.
You think?
Could be.
But we understand that he was a little bit low key. Right? His father got assassinated at the time of the eagle. So the thing is, let's leave that aside for a second. So Bezalel was, Chazal say, 13 years old at the time of the Mishkan. And Hashem said, build a Mishkan, which was extremely delicate work and, you know, very complicated artistry and goldsmithing and silversmithing and things that would take people to go to Bezalel art school. Let's say. It would take them. Anyway, you know, this building we're in, this house we're in, used to be owned by Bezalel art school. This was once the energy here that we have to change is the energy of people looking out at the view, which before all those buildings were there, creating art.
Oh, wow.
This was Bezalel. This whole building was. It was a dormitory for Bezalel Art School.
Where was the school itself?
Next building, Lana Simosa.
Oh, man.
That was an art school.
Right. I bought that building from them. I'm the one who got them out of here. Thank you.
What was wrong with them?
What was wrong with them?
Yeah.
There was a lot of, yeah, but it was a co-ed dorm with a lot of promiscuity going on over here.
Oh.
So the truth is that, you know, like, we have to really do some kedusha here. Unbelievable, like, how the Rebbe Shalom laughs. Who would have ever, you know, this was like a quiet, tucked away, do whatever you want place. And Baruch Hashem. So Bezalel was 13 years old, and we needed somebody to do something which was like completely, you know, wild, so beyond the abilities of anybody in Klal Yisrael. And not just Bezalel, but a whole team came forth. And just one point first. Bezalel was 13 years old. He built the Mishkan. Anybody know how long that took?
From Yom Kippur to Hanukkah.
Yeah. So you're talking about a few months. He built this unbelievable thing. He mastered this. He engineered it. It wasn't just, by the way, that he designed it according to the I saw in the Svarim, they said the Ramban says that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it should be done, it could have been done in a lot of different ways. You know what I'm saying? In other words, there were a number of choices as to how it could have actually looked and still have had the same dimensions and the same, you know. In other words, you say put a filigree around the top, so a filigree could look like this, a filigree could look like that. I mean, a filigree, you know, it requires not just art, but according to the Zohar, Yoda Bezalel Eich Letzarif Es Hashemais. So remember, we talked about a week or two ago about the Vilna Gaon, who said about Kol HaTorah Kula Shemai Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, we said that the whole Torah is just really the Shemais of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was like all like one long code, the same letters, but it didn't have any meaning. And then what the tzaddikim used to do in those days, and what they still can do maybe today, somebody is to be mitzarif the Shemais, to work the letters around so that they end up to be the Shem Hashem. Yodea Bezalel knows how to be mitzaref the Shemais, means how to take the letters from here and from there and to make everything work. And then he knew, even a step further, he knew how to represent that in the design of the Mishkan. So there was representation, not just symbolism, but actual representation in terms of the measurements and the gematrias and everything that he did. So if he had a filigree with 2,000 holes, those 2,000 holes had meaning. Everything had meaning, and it was all Kabbalistic. So not only at 13 years old was he like an unbelievable artist, but he was a huge Kabbalist also. And what he knew, clearly what he knew, and the Kabbalim for generations and generations are trying to darshan what Bezalel knew. And that took 3 months. And then what happened to Bezalel? What's the next thing we know about Bezalel? Unbelievable, right? This hit me actually yesterday that this is just unbelievable. What happened to Bezalel? What happened to Bezalel? Like, here you have a potential Gadol Hadar. Somebody who was possibly at 13 years old the wunderkind of Klal Yisrael and the an unbelievable talent, unbelievable knowledge, unbelievable spirituality, and we don't hear about him again. And he didn't die, because in Divrei HaYamim it says that he died. He was 104. Wow. In Divrei HaYamim, he was 104. He was 13. So he did this unbelievable thing while he was 13 years old, and then lived the next 90 years, and We don't know the shot.
Do we understand anything else about him?
No.
No.
Nothing. We don't know anything about him.
Nothing in Midrash?
I can't tell you, I can't tell you it doesn't say anything. I could just say that I looked around to try to figure out what happened to Bezalel. Did he become the president of the Mishkan, they make him a testimonial dinner? Did they give him the next project, start, all right, you just start now designing the Beis HaMikdash for later? Just something, just give him some kind of a...
Was he an ancestor of David in the left, Because that someone from Miriam was
named. It might have been. I don't think we know much, but I think that there's the pshat is like in Pirkei Avos it says, I'm sure he led a very productive life, and I'm sure he did gewaldige things, and I'm sure he sat and learned all day, and I'm sure he helped people, and I'm sure he did all those things. But this is what this was his contribution, and the Pirkei Avos says, Ein lecha adam she'ein lo isha. Ein lecha adam she'ein lo isha. Every person has his 15 minutes. the saddest thing in the world would be, I don't depress anybody, but the saddest thing in the world would be if you miss it. Huh. Let's say Bezalel would have said, hey, I'll get to this later. I'm a little young for this. Let's say he wouldn't have stepped up to the plate. So sometimes the person has, I think it's just like a very an unbelievable principle, unbelievable fundamental thing. Every single person has a shah, has something that they are supposed to contribute. But unfortunately, since we've become non-profit, we don't have any access to the clear information as to what it is that we're supposed to do exactly. But we do have one piece of clear information that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives everyone the chance to do their thing, but we don't necessarily know what that thing is. So you look throughout history, the example I always give, I think it's a good example, the Malbim who wrote what, Shmuel?
He
wrote the Malbim. Now what's the Malbim? A Perish on Tanakh. Right. So the Malbim wrote a Perish on Tanakh, famous Perish on Tanakh. That was a very, very important work today, but especially at the time, because the people of the Enlightenment and the beginnings of the Reform movement at that time were very involved in Bible criticism and Bikoris HaMikra, and they were really convoluting a lot of the pshatim of the Torah, because they wanted to take things literally and change things so that it's not as obligatory as it was. And the Malbim came, as did Hirsch, by the way, set out to show them that you don't even begin to understand what the words mean. Shemos HaNirdafim, there's two words that seem to mean the same thing. So the reformers were always into, well, it's just synonyms. That was a key word for them, synonyms. The Vilna Gaon says anybody who says a synonym, chayv misa. So the reason why he said such a strong lashon was because this was the derech of the, it's a piece of history, this was the derech of the reformers to make everything into a synonym and therefore oversimplify the Torah. There's a famous story about the Vilna Gaon would never meet with the, I don't know if it was exactly the reform movement at that time, but I think what turned into the reform movement, you know, the Maskilim, as we like to call them, you know, the Maskilim refers to the Enlightenment, the so-called Enlightenment. It was really more of an Enlightenment than an Enlightenment. But he refused to meet with any of them. They always wanted to meet with the Vilna Gaon because he was such a phenomenon, such a Gaon, you know. So one of them dressed up as a Haredi. And spent a couple of weeks in Vilna davening mincha like he tortured himself. that people would get comfortable with him. And it was written in the, if you read the story of the Vilna Gaon, the history of the Vilna Gaon, he wanted everyone to get comfortable with him. Like a photographer, you know, who walks into Mea Shearim, so, you know, wants to really snap photoshots, but everybody's shy, so you take her out for 2-3 weeks and you kind of like get everybody comfortable with you, and then you could take pictures, you know. So he came into the Vilna Gaon to fool him, right? And the Vilna Gaon said to him, looking like a Haredi guy, he finally got an audience with the Gra, and the Vilna Gaon said to him, the first thing he said to him, he said, what are you? He says, I'm a scholar, I learned. So he was a scholar, he was a biblical scholar. So he says, what's your expertise? So he said, my expertise is Lashon HaKodesh, you know, language. I'm an expert in language. So the Vilna Gaon said, you're an expert in language. How many Lashonos for Simcha are there? How many types of simcha are there in the Hebrew language?
Yeah. Start.
Eat it.
Right. You know, so he said, simcha is gila, rina, ditza, hedva, simcha. He came up with six different lashonos of simcha. So the Vilna Gaon said, "Why don't you say sasam?" Ooh. So this fellow said, "Because sasam and simcha are really the same thing." Big mistake. You see what happens? So sasam and simcha are the same thing. Why would you say it's the same thing? So he said, "Well," so the Vilna Gaon said, "There's a Mefurshe Rashi, which is mechalik between sasam and simcha. Simcha is an inner feeling, and sasam is a manifestation of the simcha." So he said, "Well, you know, Rashi's understanding of the Hebrew language is archaic."
Oh, wow!
So this is by the way a real story. So the Vilna Gaon said, Vilna Gaon threw him out of the room, and he told his gabbai this is unbelievable, like the difference in culture. He told his gabbai to tie him up in front of the shul at mincha time. This fellow, by the way, was the guy who wrote the story. He wrote this back in a letter. We have the letter. This is everything I'm telling you is a letter that this reform guy wrote back to his buddies grammar school. They told him to tie him up and to tell everybody to put a sign in front of him that I paskin, that he's an apokaris. So what happened was the guy wrote back that everybody who walked into mincha that day walked into mincha and spit at him. Yeah. At him, in front of him, whatever. The guy writes in the bottom of the letter, he says, let me tell you something. He says, Vilna is not like, where was he from? Leningrad. What was it called? Stalingrad. What was it called before? Huh? St. Petersburg. That's what he says Vilna is not like St. Petersburg. He says people actually do come to Mincha over here. There was thousands of people. You know, okay. Okay, like, you know, so it's an interesting piece of history from the mouth of the point I'm making is that one point is that there's no Shemesh and Nerdav, and there's no synonyms in Yiddishkeit. So the Malbim wrote this book to undo the misteachings of the Reform movement, which were very, very strong at that time, and he was a big warrior against them. And they used to they literally tried to beat him up. I mean, he was terrible because he used to come out against them and against the people that the government, that you have to understand, politics here. The government, they were trying very hard to get the Polish government and to recognize them as the leaders of the Jewish people. And the Malbim was an extremely eloquent person, and he used to go and he used to say terrible things about him. So they was it was a real thing. This is a famous story where somebody sent the Malbim. They would try; they always tried to break him, you know, to get him to break him apart. So, so they sent the Malbim a picture of a pig in the mail. Famous story. So, you know, just to try to get him down, you know. So the Malbim sent him back his picture. He said, "You send me your picture, I'll send you my picture." It was a great Malbim. So why am I telling you all this? Because this was a very small part of the Malbim's life. He apparently spent about a half a year writing the entire Pirush HaMalbim that we have today, and we're all Malbim, by the way, on McGill's Esther is probably like the best Pirush on McGill's Esther, that and the Vilna Gaon, like Mamish Kedai to get, even translated into English, I think. So the Malbim, yeah, it's called Mendel Weinbach, I think. What did he do his whole life? He was a Rav. And what did he do his whole life? He wrote, I think it was 37 volumes on Shulchan Aruch. Wow. 37 volumes on Shulchan Aruch, called the Artzei Sachaim. So the Artzei Sachaim was a phenomenal, brilliant pirush on every single Sifan Shulchan Aruch. All of those volumes were lost in a fire. And the only one that weren't lost was what we have today, which is about 40 pages on Hilchos Tzitzis, called Artzei Sachaim. Unbelievable. A whole life's work. And the whole thing was lost, except for this few pages that we have. If you go to the story, buy Artzei Sachaim, you get one little tiny, almost a pamphlet on Hilchos Tzitzis, which is a brilliant Malbim on Hilchos Tzitzis, Lundish Hilchos Tzitzis. So expected when this was burnt down in a fire, they expected the Malbim to go into a state of depression and melancholy, like, you know, you lost. But that's not what happened. What happened was the Malbim pointed out that obviously what he should become famous for was his Pirush on Tanakh. That's what the generation needed at that time, and it would have been overshadowed completely by his Pirush on Shulchan Aruch had that lasted. So it was Minas Shamayim, because his point was, it was a written point that he writes in the introduction to the one of the Malbims. He writes this, which he wrote when he was very old. He added some introductions. He wrote that a person doesn't know really what your purpose in life is until it used to be a Navi would come and tell you, okay, this is your purpose. But he didn't know his purpose until he saw that that's my purpose. My purpose is to, that the Malbim is the Malbim. The Malbim was the Rav Huttner. Skip a couple of generations. Rav Huttner, who I was able to hear a lot and be close to. Rav Huttner also wrote, notebooks on the Pirush HaGra on Shulchan Aruch, specifically. On the Gra on Shulchan Aruch, one of the hardest things to do. All got lost. Everything got lost. And what do we have from Rav Huttner? It's by Mar, Pachat Yitzchak. You know, so that's the Rav Huttner. He introduced a whole new way of thinking, Rav Huttner, all of a shalom, to the generation. Then the contribution is not necessarily what we think the contribution is.
The Minchas Chinuch on Shas also.
Same thing. This almost. I mean, I thought about this almost every. Let me tell you the most basic here. Esther, let's get into Purim here. Esther was a Jewish woman, became the queen of Persia. Okay, pretty wild, right? Mm-hmm. Jewish woman becomes the queen of Persia. And she's the queen of Persia. Ahasuerus is madly in love with her. Here's this Jewess, which has the ability to now control not just Persia, not just the Jews, but the entire world. You know, she was the most powerful. If you can control Ahasuerus, you can control the world. She had the controls for the most powerful movements in the world, right? And this was an unbelievable miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Purim story in short. Unbelievable miracle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent, created this type of a scenario when the Jews needed it. So Mordechai goes to Esther, and Mordechai says to Esther, okay, Esther, it's time that you save the Jewish people. Haman is going to kill everybody. You've got to save everybody. You've got to talk to Ahasuerus. You've got your fingers on the controls. And she hems and haws. Who knows? I don't know. You know, the Gemara in Megillah has a whole list of tainas. Maybe he's going to kill me. Maybe it's not correct to go to the Melech like this. You know, it's not so simple. So Mordechai tells her, most famous line probably the whole Megillah. Mordechai says to her, listen, Esther, he says, Mi Yodea, who knows? Ibla Ace Kazos, he got Lamalchus. Who knows? Maybe this is the whole reason why you became the queen of Persia, to save the Jewish people. So you read this and you say to yourself, who knows? Everybody knows. This was the miracle of Purim. The whole miracle of Purim was that Esther was taken. Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Esther, and she put her in a position of power, and so that she could save the Jewish people, which she did. And Esther, apparently from the text, did not see it that way. She didn't see it that, like, this is what I'm here for. She was in life. Okay, we read the Megillah, right? But this was part of life. She's the queen of Persia. Even Mordechai doesn't say this in a very, he says this in a passive voice. You know, Mi Yodea, who knows? Who knows, Iblais Kazos, Igatha. Maybe this is the whole reason why you're a queen. There's not even a kid in third grade here in Yerushalayim that doesn't know that that's why Esther became the queen. But Esther didn't know. Mordechai wasn't sure. The pshat is that everybody has, Eloch Adam Shein Lo Shah, a person, what's so obvious to us is not necessarily, what's so obvious to us when we look at the retrospective history is not at all obvious when you're going through it yourself and you're saying to yourself, well, maybe this is it, maybe not, probably not. So if you talk about that, so Esther stepped up to the plate and she saved the Jewish people. So, and that's what we know about Esther. Esther has a big, long history. She had sons that were the kings of Persia. She has a long history. Well, what we know about Esther, clearly, I mean, if you follow, you know, Koresh, if what we know about probably the, in other words, what I'm saying is probably even the fact that that eventually the Persians helped build the second Beis HaMikdash and gave permission to build the second Beis HaMikdash, that was apparently the influence of Esther, a very old Esther. Not the Esther in the Purim story, a very old Esther.
Wasn't it only three years later, though?
What, that they actually built it? But that's when it started. It wasn't 3 years. This is a big Shiloh, when exactly in the 70 years this took place. But I think if you trace it carefully, I think as an old person, she said, look, let this go through. She was an old Esther. But the point is, that's not what she, you know, that could be a Megillah to itself, but it's not the Megillah, because she was born with a purpose, and the purpose was to save the Jewish people at that point, and it would be the biggest tragedy in the world if somehow or another, you know, she or we or anybody would miss this missed the boat on this one. You know, so it's a little bit scary on the one hand. On the other hand, I think the point to know is that everybody has such a purpose. Everybody has this contribution that they have to make. So you have to daven. You have to daven for the siyata d'shmaya, like these people had, that it comes to fore, and then we have to always have this strength and the bravado to be able to say, hey, you know, I've got to do this. You know, people are going to say this, and people are going to say that, and you know, people are gonna, who's he to do it? You know, there's going to be all kinds of comments. I got to do it. This is a contribution. I mean, everything al pi halacha, obviously. I'm not talking about doing anything crazy. I'm talking about making a heroic contribution to the world and to the Jewish people. So Bezalel, this is a message of Bezalel. Bezalel vanished at 13 years old. He didn't vanish. He had probably an extremely productive life. He probably did a tremendous amount for his own avodah and his own tefillah and his own kapola and his own and you know, halavai we should be zocha to even see Bezalel after 120 years. Halavai we should be able to get into that mechitza. But there's a hidden message here, and that is that Bezalel had a major contribution to make, which took 3 months at the age of 13. That's all we know about Bezalel. He's purposely deleted. Don't get confused. It's not an illustrious career. He had a tachlis. He had a purpose, and this was the purpose. And he stepped up to the plate to do this. Hence, you have the Mishkan, and from the Mishkan, you have the Beis Hamikdash. You know, from because of the Mishkan, we have the Oil Moed, and because of the Oil Moed, we have the Torah. Everything came from this heroism of Moshe calling and saying, "Who's willing to do this?" And I think that just one last point is look at the miracle of it. As soon as he was willing to take the job and say, "I'll do it." He had unbelievable, miraculous talents. This is not something he picked up anywhere. He didn't go to Bezalel Art School. So it was Bezalel. So how? Where did he get it from? It was a nes. It was a siyata d'shmaya that he had. That he would build things. You know, it was according to the Zohar. There was the Hur was that was his grandfather was so such a kanoi. He was so against the eagle. I mean, for a lot of people were against the eagle, but he was obviously extra against the eagle because he saw the energy and the art that went into it, and he said that this is an abuse of Hashem's talents that he gave you. Create a beautiful eagle as up. You could create a mushka. You could create a mishka. So the grandson said, okay, "Let's do this. Let's create a mishka. Let's use this the koach to create a mishka." So it's all. It's all right in there. So that's the hidden message of the television.